folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart. Very excited to be here for another week to share some news stories with you, share some information, and just chat like we would in our living rooms over a cup of coffee. This is going to be a monumental week, I think, with the election coming up on Tuesday. There's a lot to cover. I'd like to go over some things about that and then spend some time talking about personal cleanliness and safety while traveling. I've been traveling a lot the last year, and there are some things that I've noticed that may be something that, or maybe something that is just a result of stupidity and poor planning. But we'll get into that a little bit later. First, let's talk about the hot topic of the week. The election's coming up, and there is a lot of chatter, both on the internet and in general, about the possibility of some civil unrest in regards to the election. Now, whether or not the results will drag out and be another several week long incident until we have a decided quote unquote winner, or whether or not we just, some of us will be unhappy with the results of who does end up showing as the winner of the election and so decides to take to the streets and create havoc and mayhem and all of that wonderful Antifa stuff we've seen in times past. Garbage pails burning, stores being looted, just destruction and mayhem and havoc. Or could it be on the part of the Patriots because they put, and obviously I don't think it would be a fair vote based on what I feel and know, but if Comma Chameleon gets in there, the Patriots coming out and showing their unhappiness with the results of the election. What's going to happen? And is this another fear-mongering tactic to keep everybody in a state of panic, anxiety, nervousness, sleeplessness, stressful states where we're not able to stay in balance and keep a positive perspective? I have to tell you truthfully, folks, that the indications that I'm getting and what I'm feeling is that this is going to start to be a rough ride for a while. So what I would suggest everyone do, and this is not fear-mongering, this is just common sense, and you've heard me say it many, many times over a lot of years on my shows, is please make sure that you have food, water, supplies, animal food and supplies, gas in your car, extra gas, that you have some kerosene lanterns and some kerosene put by. They're very inexpensive at local thrift stores and antique shops comparatively to purchasing one new online. But if you need to, get it online shipped to you quickly. Things like headlamps are amazing tools, and you can order them from companies like Temu really cheap. What I tell people that shop at Temu is always use a PayPal, which I can't stand PayPal, or go to the store and get a blank Visa or debit card from your grocery store and just replenish that to place your orders on Temu. Don't order with your bank account information because I've had so many friends and family members robbed that way. But if you use it, and listen, folks, I don't like to support China any more than the next person, and I absolutely abhor Walmart, as you've heard me say over the years. However, Temu's products are the same as Walmart. Walmart has China products. Almost every source of purchasing in the big box stores right now, it's all coming from China. So if you're going to order from China anyway, why not do it at a discount and not pay the big store prices? That's how I feel about it. But definitely use a blank Visa debit card you get from the store and replenish it, or use PayPal if you have to. Don't use your personal bank account information because they will take it. It's guaranteed almost. It's happened to one family member of mine like 5 times before they finally got smart. So let's be prepared. I've talked for years about solar lights from the dollar store. They're $1.25 now. You go, you put them in a window, in a vase. That's what I do. I keep a vase and I put them in a window. And I put some around my home just for general ambiance and lighting to make my curb appeal more beautiful. And when the power goes out, I'll just run out and grab them out of the yard. So I have a stockpile of those. And little known fact, you can actually replace the batteries on those from, you can get them from like Amazon, even though I hate to support Amazon as well. You can get them online. And you can actually replace the batteries in those Dollar Tree lights when you need to by getting the little batteries, the little button batteries. And those will be something that you can have for years. So you invest, you know, say $10, $15 at the Dollar Tree, and then you can buy those batteries online. And they may be lithium. I'm not sure. But anyway, take it apart, check it out, and get some source backup batteries. Anything solar that you can get is very helpful at these times. However, keep in mind that they are blocking out the sun. That is a thing, in my opinion. So the sun is not going to be as effective as it used to be, but it's better than nothing. Also, look for ways to naturally light your home. I've recently bought some privacy plastic so that I'm able to put that on some windows and open up the windows and have sunshine. I talked about that last week, and it's a great way to also allow natural lighting into your home where you're, you know, should you be without electricity, it's an avenue to where you still have your privacy, but sunlight can filter in. I also would like to talk to you about hand tools. If you don't have any hand tools, you might want to run down even to your local Harbor Freight. Their tools are pretty cheap, and they might not last forever, but it's better than nothing if that's all you can afford right now. And also make sure that you have alternate heating sources, especially where we are here on the East Coast. It gets cold. So if your heat should go out, you know, you should have at least a kerosene heater or two. And you want to be careful with that. You want to make sure that you have proper ventilation, but a pellet stove, a wood stove, anything like that, that you can, a barbecue grill with an extra propane tank or a camp stove with extra propane to be able to cook on. Make sure you have plenty of clean water. There are internet videos out there about making little temporary heaters out of clay pots with candles. I have done that before in a pinch. And it does work. They're not a great source of heat, but it is better than nothing. Do your research, take some time out, and look at some videos, and prepare in whatever ways that you can. It doesn't have to be an expensive thing. If you're a gardener and you have clay pots right out in your yard, go get a bag of tea lights. You can get them at the dollar store. You can get them at Ollie's if you have those around you, or Aldi's if you have those around you. But cheaper department stores, Big Lots, carry them too for less money than, don't go to Kohl's, don't go to Macy's and buy them, but go to your discount department stores and stock up on tea light candles and candles in general. Another thing that you can do is get a gallon of Wesson oil, and you can, I actually visited a Buddhist temple years ago, and they had bowls with wicks in them burning, and I thought they were the most beautiful things. And I asked a lady, what is that? It's vegetable oil. So you can go to your local Hobby Lobby or discount craft store, and you can get wicks. Get a gallon of Wesson oil, put it in a fire-safe bowl. So a stainless bowl, a big salad bowl, something like that, something that's not going to break with heat. And pour the Wesson oil in that. Stick the wicks right in there, and you have giant floating candles at your disposal for a very, very reasonable price, as opposed to going to Yankee Candle and buying five or six jar glass candles. Even the inexpensive ones at Walmart now are pretty pricey. Thank you, COVID. But that's also a great way, and it burns very slowly. So keep a supply of wicks on hand, maybe a couple gallons of Wesson oil, and you will be able to have beautiful floating bowls that you can set around your house. You got to be careful of animals and small children and make sure that you extinguish them at nighttime, but also a great inexpensive source of heat. If you don't have a lot of money, stock up on rice and beans and inexpensive canned goods. Hopefully most of you that listen to me have your own garden and have canned and prepared your food by now for the winter. But in the absence of that, even if you have to go to the dollar store and buy canned goods there, it's actually a dollar and a quarter for a canned good there, though. And you can go to an Ollie's or an Aldi's or even a Walmart or inexpensive department store. And cans up here right now are running about 65 to 69 cents an item. So it's cheaper than the Dollar Tree even. But stock up on food. 20 bucks is better than nothing, folks, right now. Go to thrift stores if you need to and you don't have extra blankets. Make sure that you have extra blankets, especially if you have pets and children, to help keep everybody warm. And if you haven't gotten your winter clothes out yet, I would suggest that you do that. Typically, I change from spring to summer to fall to winter, and I cycle my things in and out and put them in totes. But get out your winter clothes and make sure that you have enough warm clothes out, even though it seems like it may be a little bit early. And make sure that you have your snow tires on your car if you haven't done that already. I would absolutely make an appointment to do that. Plenty of rock salt for your driveways. Anything that you can think of to picture it as a COVID scenario again, where you have to stay home and things aren't readily available and there are shortages on the shelves. Those are things that you want to stock up on as much as you can. And it doesn't need to cost a lot of money. Some local thrift stores and public places actually have blankets and coats right now for free. Some actually even have piles of blankets with small holes in them that they give away as pet blankets. Just shop around and do what you can with what you have. It's better than nothing. Make sure that you have a means to protect your family as well. I don't need to go into detail with that. You can draw your own conclusions, but anything that you can have readily available to be able to protect your home and your family is very important right now too, because you never know. There could be some rioting and looting and things like that, and you want to make sure that your family is safe. The best place in a case like this is, believe it or not, the survivalist will tell you not to necessarily bug out, but to be able to make your home your sanctuary and to be able to protect your family from inside of your home. Emotionally, it helps the comfort level. There's a lot less stress than trying to pitch a tent out in the woods, and it's going to be a lot more comfortable for your family. It's just, there's an energy of safety and peace in your home. And until you absolutely, and unless you absolutely have to leave your home, make that your fortress as best as you can. So now that I've gone through all of that gloom and doom stuff, these are just common things that you should have done already, but in case you haven't, I'm telling you to please do it now. Prepare yourselves as best you can in the event that shit gets real. Having said that, I'm going to keep the positive road and energy flowing, and I'm keeping myself as upbeat and positive as I can, and I am looking ahead. I'm seeing what I want to have happen, and I'm keeping a positive mindset. I'm not going to allow myself to live in fear or live in anxiety, and I hope that all of you are doing that as well. Prepare, do what you can, and then have faith to know that you will be protected when the time comes, and that should an event arise, you're as ready as you can be, and that's okay. but at the same time, focus on your family and yourselves being protected and everything working out the way that you want it to. Make sure that you get out and ground in nature as much as you can right now. This is important, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes out in the sunshine, even if you live in an apartment complex, there is somewhere a grove of trees or a park that you can get to just to get outside in nature for 5 or 10 minutes. Make sure that you ground with the earth. Make sure that you have the means to just get outside and get that sunshine into you. Soak up that vitamin D as much as possible. Even if you've got to go to a park and sit in your vehicle and just open the door, do that. Don't become obsessed with the news and focus on it. Just maybe a few minutes a day, get the headlines, and then get out of there. Try not to be tied to your computer. Things like walkie-talkies and CBs and ham radios are great. If you can, even if you have your kids, you know, little portable radios, those are great to have at this time. Sleeping bags, camping equipment, stuff like that. So that if you were to lose heat in your home, you know, it's actually kind of a fun idea for the kids. But you can pitch a tent or make a makeshift tent inside one of the rooms of your home. And you can put the portable heaters in there. Just, again, be careful for ventilation. Use common sense. But just like you were outside camping, you can do those little candle terracotta heating units inside of a smaller space to keep you and your family more warm should you need to. And it creates kind of a fun environment for the kids to be able to camp indoors. Now, those are worst case scenarios, but I needed to say it again, even though I've been saying this for years, just so that you're as prepared as you can be. What we want to watch for is after the election, I'd like for everybody to batten down their hatches and stay inside the rest of the night. If you have any social things that you like to do, I would cancel them just in case. Stay home with your family. Spend the time after you voted in prayer and meditation. And again, stay calm and picture the outcome that you want to see. I'm getting glimpses and indications and just general gut feelings about this whole scenario come Tuesday. And so all of this needed to be said, but let's not dwell on it. If you don't have a cooler, I would maybe pick one up at a thrift store. Make sure that you have, or even dig a hole in the ground. Google that. Ways to keep your food cold should you lose power if you don't have a generator, which should be an essential item. But if you don't, do you have just a Coleman or an ice cooler where you can put ice in there to keep your food cold for a couple days? That's also something to consider. With the dropping temperatures, if you even have a cooler that you can place outside to keep your food cold, that's better than nothing right now. Just make sure it's in a safe spot where it can't be taken. Even storing it inside your dwelling is better than nothing. The cooler will keep the food cold longer. You may want to fill up your bathtub and make sure that you have extra water in the house to be able to flush your toilets and so that you have enough water to bathe in. Get baby wipes. If you can't find toilet paper, especially they sell them at the dollar store, stock up on baby wipes so that you're able to at least wash yourself a little bit and keep as clean as possible. There are many essential oils out there, you can research that you can also use to sanitize with. I make my own cleaning products, most of them, so research that. You can make your own reusable baby wipes with just a container and some paper towels and alcohol and essential oils and soap. You can Google that. It's very easy to make, takes about 5 minutes, and so that at least you have a way to clean yourself and wipe yourself in case of another toilet paper shortage. I use reusable washcloths and paper towels and all of that. So even if you go down to the dollar store, they have these Windex wipes. They're like blue and white, maybe 10 or 15 in a package, so that you can wet them and use them over and over to clean with. Paper towels are not an essential thing. You should have dust rags and cleaning rags and wash rags in your house that you can wash and use over and over. And while we're on the subject of that, if you have animals, make sure that you have things like those potty liners that you put on the floor for your animals in case they don't go outside to the bathroom. I purchased years ago, there were like $35 for three of them. They're made in America. You can Google it. They're washable and reusable pee pads so that you can line their crates and a spot for them to go to the bathroom should they not be able to get outside. Why would they not want to get outside? Because in case there's stuff going on outside, you want to make sure that you're safe. So you may not want to take your dogs for walks. So you want to have sanitizing stuff and stuff to, garbage bags to put their dirty liners in and be able to store them either outside in the basement so your house doesn't stink. Those reusable ones are great, folks. Let me tell you, you wash them, and I've had mine for at least 3 years now, and they work wonderfully. But make sure that you have a way to hand wash your clothes, whether it be a galvanized metal bucket and a washboard, or just a big dish pan, or a laundry basket that doesn't have holes in it, or your tub, some way to be able to launder your own clothes and a way to hang them up, whether it be a wooden drying rack or a clothesline that you can hang in your house. But again, make sure that you have enough water to do that. If you have babies, cloth diapers might be the way for you to go, just to have as a backup in case you can't buy diapers, and have a food grinder, a hand grinder at your house so that you're able to grind up fruits and vegetables for your child should you need to. Powdered milk is something that I like to keep on hand. I don't have a baby, but it's great for coffee if I can't get to the store and buy milk or canned milk. Make sure that you have stuff in the house to keep your baby going should you not be able to buy baby food. Things like hand blenders and ways to cook, hand tools, meat grinders, anything like that. If you can pick those up at a thrift store, make a day of it and just go thrifting and see what you can come up with. I've gotten those hand blenders, beautiful shape, almost new for as little as $2 at local antique shops. So shop around for things like that. You should already have them, but just in case, get what you can. Can openers. If you have an electric can opener, make sure you have a hand can opener to be able to open your stuff. A first aid kit. Even if you go to the dollar store and buy some hydrogen peroxide and alcohol and some cheap Snoopy Band-Aids. I use colloidal silver as much as possible. I have a mason jar with the electrodes where I can make my own, but that might be something for you to consider as well. Colloidal kills just about everything. And again, research your essential oils. I make my own thieves oil for cleaning purposes, and that and the colloidal, there's nothing out on the market, in my opinion, that can touch that. Those items for killing germs. And I take the thieves oil and mix it with colloidal in a spray bottle, and it kills everything. It's a very inexpensive way to be able to clean virtually everything in your home, from floors from pet stains under the liners, to wiping your kitchen counters, to cleaning your toilets. Those oils and the colloidal, really the colloidal, are just, they're so useful. And it will save you so much money in the long run. And it doesn't have all of those cancer-causing chemicals in them. I recently discovered a company from a friend of mine that sells Norwex products. And let me tell you, folks, they're pretty expensive. But I purchased a starter pack from her to help her, to support her in her business venture. And I had done that after she had done a demonstration for me. I got the window cleaning cloths and the dusting mitt, and it came with a small bottle of the laundry detergent and a round jar of marble paste. Let me tell you, that investment is probably one of the best that I've made in a couple of years. The window cloths for Norwex, it's kind of like a Mr. Miyagi wax on, wax off, but you wet the cloth and you run it across your glass and then you polish it with the dry cloth. And I did that on my windows and my back patio door looks brand new. I was so excited that I ran around the house doing all of my windows, as many as I could get done. And it just, wow, what a difference. My windows are sparkling clean, no chemicals. They're guaranteed for like 2 years. They have a colloidal silver or some sort of product in them, I'm not sure what it is, that helps to kill germs as well. And the dusting mitt is just amazing. I've used them so much. I've washed them once. I don't put them in the dryer. I hang them to dry. But if you're able to afford it, I would absolutely look into the Norwex products, especially the window cleaning cloths and the dusting mitt. You can make your own laundry soap with Mulesine Borax. You can use Leonard's or an off-brand of the Castile Peppermint Soap. Google that. It's a much safer, healthier way to launder your clothes and your children's clothes, babies especially. A lot of moms are using the organic Castile peppermint soap for their children, not only for their laundry, but as their bathing soap as well. So research that. I'll tell you, that Norwex marble paste that they sell, she actually took a Sharpie and put it on her kitchen counter and use some of that marble paste to get the Sharpie off. I've used it on my kitchen counters, and it is an amazing product for getting grime off of your counters and off of your appliances. I love it. I'm not saying everything in the catalog is worthwhile, but those products, that starter kit, I would absolutely recommend if you can afford it. It's just every single thing in that package was amazing. We are in an era where we're being faced with technological warfare, and those products kill germs. So I would absolutely recommend them. You also might want to check out battery-operated clocks so that if you need to still go to work, you can have a way to get up in the morning, the battery alarm clocks. I have a couple of the old-school antique foldable wind-up West clocks. But any kind of battery-operated clock is a good thing to have on hand, and they're $5-6 at the store. Those little solar battery packs to be able to recharge your phone are also a great idea. There have been some whispers about worldwide power outages, so it's just something to consider that you may want to add to your stockpile if you don't have them already. They're anywhere between $15 and $30. I would have a couple of those on hand, and I'm sure your children have plenty of entertainment in their rooms, but board games and even simple decks of cards, something to pass the time, books to read, would be beneficial to have on hand if you don't have a lot of those. And books are a great resource if the computer goes down. I have so many books on virtually everything from raising chickens to growing gardens to how to survive an EMP attack. And I have pleasurable reads as well when I want to get away from the stresses and strains. There are so many spiritual books out there too. And those are relatively cheap. Some places have them for free, donation boxes where you can just get a couple of books, something to pass the time with should there be no power and everybody starts to get a little stir crazy. If you're just learning to cook or not a good cook, absolutely pick up a cookbook or make sure that your favorite recipes are stored on recipe cards. I have 2 boxes full and working on a third as we speak. But when you can't rely on the computer to do simple things, having everything written down in a binder or in a book is so important. I'm going to take a short musical break here in a second. And then the second half of the show, I'm going to talk about hygiene while traveling. I started to broach the subject earlier, but we absolutely are under some sort of attack, environmentally speaking. Everybody's seen the chemtrails. I don't know if you've spent any amount of time outside, but virtually everybody that I've spoken to that does, whether it be just raking leaves, walking their dogs, or doing yard work, just traveling to and from work, seems to be having issues breathing and issues with coughs and weird things that are cropping up physiologically with them that have never happened before. We've talked about previously on the shows a lot of eye issues. So I'm going to broach that in the next episode, and I hope you'll stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, here is some wonderful music for you to enjoy from my good buddy Barry Cooney. You can reach me at Maggie, Maggie_HEART at Outlook.com. And let me know how you like Barry's music. I'll be happy to pass it along to him. He's an amazing original artist and a buddy of mine for years up in Canada. And my introductory and end music, as always, is provided by my good buddy Pat Carr. Pat is an amazing original artist, originally from Louisiana. And please support him. Check him out on SoundClick, Reverb Nation, YouTube. He is all over the place. You can reach him and support him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Please support the network. We are totally listener funded. We rely on you to keep going, to be able to share these shows with you. Check out the main page. There may be another show on there that you'd like to listen to, or several that you can enjoy. And support the network in any way possible. We appreciate anything that you can give. If you want to be a superstar and have your own business, please consider sponsoring an ad on our network. You can reach the owner through the main page if you don't already have a commercial in place. And I'm sure that they and the producers would be more than happy to come up with a commercial that you'll be absolutely thrilled with. It's a great way to support us and promote your business at the same time. With that being said, again, you can reach me at Maggie, Maggie_heart at outlook.com should you need any spiritual, physical, mental, or emotional help. Let me assist you in helping you to become a better, healthier person. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned, folks. You're listening to the Positude Podcast.
Goodbye, child, your mother, she calls. She knows that you suffer from sorrows and falls. She hopes you forgive her. Her weakness was sad, the time she betrayed you when your father went mad. Turned out at sweet 16, a young tender age, you couldn't understand your father's drunken rage. In coolness of evening you fled from your home, nervous and shaken, scared and alone. Sweet Mary, please go back home. Your father has died and your mother's alone. Go back, sweet Mary, she's hurting inside. You can't know the number of nights that she's cried. Go home, child, your mother does care. She knows of the burdens and the pain that you bear. Your father and streets taught you life's not a game. Throw away all the sadness, for you're not to blame. Go back, sweet Mary, please go back home. Your father has died and your mother's alone. Go back, sweet Mary, she's hurting inside. You can't know number of nights that she's cried. She knows the tears that your eyes do let fall. Shake all your sorrows, stand straight and stand tall. You're still a young lady, your dreams may come true. Return to your mother and start all anew. Go back, sweet Mary, please go back home. Your father has died and your mother's alone. Sweet Mary, she's hurting inside. You can't know the number of nights that she's cried.
That was Sweet Mary by my good buddy Perry Cooney. Please give me an email and let me know how much you loved his music so that I can pass it along to Barry and help make his day brighter. Okay, folks, traveling. As I said earlier, I've been traveling extensively, and I've had to stop at the throughway rest areas. And while I have broached this a little bit on previous shows, as far as the immigrant influx, which actually the last two times I've traveled seems to be a little bit better. I haven't seen as many. Being a woman faces more traveling challenges at the rest areas lately, but in general, I feel that cleanliness is not something that they have been on top of at the rest areas, probably because of the amount of immigrants that come in. What I've noticed is when the immigrant count is higher at the rest areas, the bathrooms are positively and absolutely disgusting. It never used to be that way when I traveled. You'd frequently have a woman that sat there that would clean the bathrooms and sit there and take a tip. But overall, I've noticed a severe degradation in the cleanliness of the restrooms at the travel areas. And I've even experimented with going off the exits at times to little gas stations. And they're not as clean as they used to be either. Now, one of the things that a woman has to consider when she's traveling is when she uses the restroom, where to put her purse or her wallet or even your keychain. And there used to always be hooks on the back doors of the restrooms. One thing that I've noticed is since they've revamped a lot of the rest areas on the throughway portions that I travel is the little purse hooks are quite obviously missing. They're not on the backs of the doors anymore. And while I have heard news stories and I've had people account to me scenarios in which they were using the restroom and the hooks that previously sat, let's say 4 to 6 inches from the top of the door on the inside, so that when you go in and shut the door, 4 to 6 inches maybe from the top, people have been able to reach over and steal their purses. So I guess if we were to ask the powers that be why they are seemingly gone now in most of the places that I've stopped on the throughway, is I guess they could say, well, it's because people were stealing purses over the doors at the rest areas, which would be a legitimate reason to not have the hooks, I guess. But what I've noticed in one of my home states, because I'm currently back and forth between residences right now, is that in one state, these people are smart, and what they've chosen to do is they put the hook down lower on the door. So it's about eye level to where you're sitting. And that way, at least you have someplace sanitary to hang your purse or your wallet or your keys. But you'd have to be virtually a giant to be tall enough to reach over and down that far to grab the person's belongings. So, you know, maybe over the years I've become jaded, and maybe over the years I'm a little suspicious of the powers that be by thinking, well, they can say that they took the hooks off because people were stealing. But, you know, when you have to set your purse or your keys or your wallet on the floor, that's a huge germ thing. There are germs all over those areas. They're gross. So I don't want to have to set my purse on the floor or my keys on the floor. And used to be, they all had these square toilet paper dispensers so that in the absence of a hook, a lady could set down her keys or her wallet and possibly even a small purse on the toilet roll dispenser. The only other boxes in those vestibules are the personal hygiene products dispensers. So, of course, I would never put my keys or my wallet on top of one of those because that's just disgusting. But at least before, the toilet paper dispensers were squared off so that in the absence of a hook, I could put my stuff on there. And I make it a habit to not carry a lot into the rest area, you know, a small purse, maybe just my wallet. But what I found is because of the absences of hooks and in the course of the remodeling, they've also converted virtually everywhere you go, even if it's a Walmart restroom. Their toilet paper dispensers are now rounded. They're not square anymore. So you can't sit anything on there without it falling onto the floor and getting disgustingly dirty by whatever germs are on the floor. Now, may that seem like a small thing to you? In the women's rest areas, there is urine all over the seats and the floor and wet spatters of what I don't know what it is, but I don't want to be putting my purse in it. I can't imagine for truckers and people that have to be on the road all day, every day, what the men's rooms look like. But what I can tell you is, as I leave the bathroom and go to the public sink area, there are no paper towel dispensers anymore. They've gotten rid of those a while back. And you've heard me complain on previous shows about the air dryers. There are studies that have been done. Those air dryers do nothing but circulate and promote germs. They are very non-hygienic, irregardless of what they tell you. Once in a great while, I'm able to stop someplace that has the old school cloth towel dispensers where you pull the towel down and it kind of goes in a circle like a sort of a conveyor belt. But those also are germ magnets. It's absolutely disgusting. What I found is because of the amount of immigrants that are traveling, when I go to use the bathroom sinks at any of the rest areas, irregardless of whether it's just been cleaned even 5 minutes before, like I've literally watched the woman walk out with the mop bucket and take the little yellow plastic signs away that say wet floor, and a bunch of people go in there, and within 5 minutes, the sinks are soaking wet with water, and they're dirty already, and they're totally also germ magnets. Now we have the automated faucets. Now, we learned in school way back, we used to teach the kids when I worked at a local school, that in order to clean your hands effectively from COVID, one of the methods to teach children to do that is to sing the happy birthday song. So you'll put on the hot water, make sure that it's hot enough to kill the germs, and you'll put your soap on and rub your hands and sing a verse or two of happy birthday. Basically, you're doing like a 30-second wash to be able to kill the germs. By the time the child's through with the stanza, that's about the amount of time that it would take to effectively kill germs, let's say 30 seconds. Now with the automatic faucets, first of all, most of the time the soap is not even in the dispensers if you can get it to come out. And while they have those little sensor panels under the sink, the faucets don't get hot. The water is barely lukewarm at all. Most of the time it's cold. And it runs for an average of, I'm going to guess, 10, 15 seconds. So by the time you get your soap on, you don't have effectively enough time to scrub your hands, kill the germs, plus the water's not hot, and then the faucet shuts out. So you got to keep messing with the sensor. And there's just water everywhere. It's just, so now I'm taking my purse out of the bathroom and I'm going to set it on, or my phone or my keys, whatever I have with me, and set it on a disgustingly wet counter. And now it's not on my body. So if there are a lot of people in the restroom, I also run the risk of somebody taking off with it before I can catch them. This is something that's been bothering me for about a year since they started to redo all the travel plazas, and I've seen the influx of people traveling and the types of people that are traveling and how absolutely non-hygienic they are. And I have a couple of solutions, especially if you have small children, and you know, and you worry about your child in your purse and all of that. I have a couple of things that I've utilized that help me to stay a little bit cleaner in that environment and attract less germs. Aside which, you're grabbing the door handles, you're grabbing the latches, you're touching the faucets, all of that. Now, we live in an age where we've been brainwashed about wearing masks for COVID and there with the 6-foot rule and all of this ridiculousness. But yet, for people who are so afraid of COVID, these travel centers are literally breeding grounds for germs. Now, let's just say that there are immigrants that have these diseases that are coming into our country, or just the general uncleanliness. What's not to say that this is being done on purpose so that these viruses and these diseases and these germs spread quicker? Again, I might be jaded, a little bit of a conspiracy theorist, and maybe a little paranoid at times, although generally speaking, not so much. I'm a pretty reasonable person by rule. But with today's technology and all of the COVID shit that they've been throwing at us for 4 years, you would think that these travel centers would be much less germ efficient. And yet it's quite the opposite. It's gotten horrendously worse. Is this a conscious way to spread germs? And we can take this as far as grocery stores too, you know, shopping cart handles and all of that. Even the restrooms in the grocery stores don't usually have the hooks anymore, and they're very inefficient ways to hygienically clean. You don't have the throwaway paper towels. I understand it's a budget issue. I get that. But those, again, those dryer things, total germ magnets. And just the overall disgustingness of the bathrooms in general because of the people who are now using them and their lack of hygiene. They should be funding people to clean those bathrooms more frequently, if nothing else. But outside of that, what can we do to help protect ourselves and our families? I wanted to talk a little bit about the chemtrails too. We talked about that in the first part of the show, but listen, just openly think about this. If they're looking to spread germs, wouldn't that be a really effective way to do it? Is on a highway rest area where people are traveling and germs are passing back and forth? Those places and shopping areas would seemingly be the best place to be able to pass and promote viruses and bacteria, would they not? While we know that the little hand travel antibacterial lotions do nothing more than erode our natural body's resistance to disease, I have had to utilize those in cases of extreme, basically, unpreparedness at my point if I don't have my homemade stuff with me. But for lack of nothing else, it's better than nothing. There have been times that the bathrooms have been so disgusting and there have been so many people at the sink that look slovenly, and even if they don't, they just don't seem to have, I just don't get a good feeling about them. Like, I don't want to be around them. And the sinks are filthy. The sinks are soaking wet. I don't want to set my purse there. So there have been times that I've used the bathroom and just gone out to my car and used that hand sanitizer when I haven't had anything else with me. which inspired me to be better prepared and have natural resources at my disposal, or at least ways to hygienically cleanse myself after using the facilities, but also ways to prevent germs from jumping onto my purse, my wallet, my keys. Because, as I said before, inevitably, even with the slanted toilet paper roll holders, you know, my keys would fall on the floor, and then I'd want to wash them in the sink, and then I'd be grossed out. So, couple of things. There are hooks that you can buy at the dollar store. They're two for a dollar in the garden section, and they're little S hooks. Those will go over your bathroom door if you don't have a hook on the back of the door that you can keep in your purse and you can hang your purse. And while they're close to the top, if you're aware of your surroundings and you put one of those hooks on the back of the doors and hang your wallet or your keys or your purse off of that, I'd much rather take a chance of somebody trying to reach over the door and steal my purse than I would have those items on the floor collecting all of those germs while I use the facilities and setting my stuff into God knows what is on that floor. So that's one thing that you can do. At least that way, minus the airborne stuff that's floating around, you're keeping your belongings safe from picking up any extra germs. Another thing is I started carrying my own homemade antibacterial spray with me so that if I'm not able to use the sink, and actually I prefer to use this method rather than the sink, I can spray my hands after utilizing the facilities, or just if my hands are grimy in general from driving, you know, sweaty or whatever. But the stuff that I use is homemade and it is a little drier on my skin, so I have a little purse pocket moisturizer that I'll put on my hands after cleaning my hands. And as I mentioned earlier, you can make homemade baby wipes and keep those in your car. People have kept baby wipes in their cars for years, but in the essence of trying to stay as natural as possible, homemade wipes in your car is a great way so that when you get back in your car, you can just wipe your hands with one of those and toss it to prevent the spread of germs. Another thing that you can do, I picked up just recently, they were selling them like crazy during COVID, but they're little travel UV lights. They were about $9.99. I still see them in like Kinney's drugstores. I think Walmart might still have them. You can get them online. They're little portable UV lights that fold up. They take AAA batteries, and you can keep that in your purse, and you can run that over the door handle before you touch it, and then run that over the latch before you use it. And then, should you have to set your purse or your wallet or your keys in an uncleansed atmosphere, like the floor, if you don't have a hook, you can run your UV light over the bottom of your bag or your wallet or your keys when you're done and as you leave the facility. And they say that they're not good for skin. So that's not something you want to use on the skin. You want to have your cleansing stuff with you anyway. But just for your purse, your wallet, your keys, those are awesome. And I actually just picked one up at a thrift store, brand new in the box for $2.50. So now I have three of them. And I keep one in the car. And I keep one in my purse. So that when I'm traveling, I can cleanse the stuff with the UV light to kill the germs. You can also utilize that for your shopping carts. You know how they have those wipes at, like, say, Walmart that I hate, or the grocery stores? You don't know who's touched those or pulled those out or what's actually on them. It's a bunch of chemicals. But you can run the UV light over the bar of your shopping cart and kill the germs that way. And you can also do that on the bottom of the cart where you're going to, or around the cart where you're going to place your shopping bags. Now, I know to the outsider that might look a little bit crazy, but let's face it, folks, there are still people running around with masks that we know are inefficient and that contain God knows what in them. There are rumors that those have graphene oxide in them. So, you know what? If they're going to wear their stupid little masks, I'd much rather look like a dork with my little UV light, knowing that at least I'm protecting myself and my family in whatever ways that I can. This next tip might be for the more adventurous of us folks in those of us that have spent a lot of time outdoors and camping, but those personal devices that allow you to be able to eliminate inside your car might be something you want to consider too, just for on those days when the rest areas are full or you can't make it to the next rest stop and need to pull off on the side of the road. They sell them all over on the internet. They're usually purple. They look like a funnel. To be honest with you, back in the day, I think I attributed to some of those getting patented because at every camp festival that I went to when I used to manage music bands back in the day, there were never enough facilities and there wasn't never enough privacy. I went and bought an automotive funnel and used that to be able to go out in the woods to relieve myself. And now they've patented these soft rubber, they're usually purple, like I said, devices where you can relieve yourself in a bottle, if not out in the woods. That might be something that you can consider. Depends on how you feel about that. If you're not an outdoors person and you're more of a Macy's girl overall, you might not want that. But in a pinch, it definitely works. And just carry an empty 2 gallon or even a gallon milk jug, cleaned out milk jug with you. I know that guys have done it for years, right? They can just get outside their vehicle and go wherever they need to go or go behind a wall. And truckers have those bottles that they use when they're driving in case they can't get to a rest area. So why shouldn't a woman have those conveniences? It's a little more cumbersome for sure. And you want to park away from traffic, absolutely, so that you have the privacy to do what you need to do. But if you've got an SUV or a van, it's cake. You just go in the back seat. A lot of people have the dark tinted windows now anyway. Something to consider and just save yourself the aggravation of having to go into those rest areas if you don't need to. By the way, I also have a pepper spray that's attached to my keychain that I carry with me in and out of those travel centers, a pocket knife. Obviously, we can't open carry or concealed carry in a lot of states. So pepper gel is actually what I have because it's much more wind resistant and it shoots straighter. If it's a windy day, you don't have to worry about it coming back on you and you can be assured that it hits the mark. I have many personal protection devices. They have the cat's eyes and the dog eyes that, you know, kind of look like the old school brass knuckles that you can put on your keychain. They have these metal stabbing devices, pepper gel, any number of things like that. Just make sure that you have something on your person, in your hand, when you're going in and out of the travel centers because it is becoming more challenging. I see a lot of creepy people at times, and I actually had an incident the very last time I traveled where I had a man who watched me approach the travel center. I was walking back toward the restroom, which is a long isolated tunnel, and he saw me coming, turned around and followed me to the head of that tunnel. And right at the mouth of that tunnel was a gender neutral bathroom. My thought was maybe he would have tried to have pushed me in there had I not been prepared, but I simply grabbed my pepper gel, held it up and showed it to him. Guy turned around and walked the other way. And I had to traverse the long tunnel very to the very end for the female gender bathroom only. But when I came out, I had my head on a swivel and he was nowhere in sight. So please be careful when you're traveling. Take precautions, especially if you have your children. Make sure that they're close by. You may want to consider, even though it's not time effective, if you're traveling to get off an exit and go to like a Wendy's or a McDonald's and use the bathrooms there. It's kind of a pain in the neck, but they seem to be a little cleaner. And just, you know, again, be aware of your surroundings, especially if you're off the exit in an area that you're not aware of, and make sure it's a safe environment. So just some tips that I've learned and picked up that might help you in your travels as well. We don't want to spread germs. We don't know what these people are bringing into the country. Stay safe out there. God bless us, and let's pray for this election. God bless everybody. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.